So if you would, take your Bibles with me and go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Dad, are you able to hear me? Do we need to turn the microphone up today? Okay. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." And by the way, that sixth month was not our June. That was the sixth month of Elizabeth's being pregnant. The sixth month with her. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And we see that she stayed with Elizabeth for the rest of Elizabeth's time, 3 months there. Now jump over to chapter 2, please, Luke chapter 2, and starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Just jump now to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. That was the Christmas day. Now we're going to read about the wise men coming several months later. Matthew chapter 2, and this is where our message is going to be from, of course, talking about the gifts given to Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, we again thank you, Lord, for what you did for us so many years ago. And Father, we just want to praise your name today. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this message. Give me the words to say. And Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts today, challenge us and encourage us. And Father, I pray that you would meet the needs. I pray for the Osorio family today, that you would bless them and comfort them. Be near them, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you would be there all in all today. Bless now this message. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So 2 Sundays ago, we looked at gold. So go back to Matthew, by the way. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 is our text verse. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold was given by these wise men to recognize Christ as their king. Frankincense, we looked at last week, and how it was commanded to be used by the priests in the ceremonial worship of Jehovah, worshiping the Lord in the temple and in the tabernacle. Thus, frankincense was a gift given in worship to Jesus as their God. And today I'd like to look at the significance of myrrh. In Israel, both frankincense and myrrh were used in perfumes, medicines, embalming, and both were used in temple purposes. Myrrh being one of the ingredients of the holy anointing oil that was used to anoint the priests, and probably was also used to anoint David and the kings. But as the primary use of frankincense in Israel was in worship of the Lord, the primary use of myrrh in Jewish culture was during their funerals. That was when they used the most myrrh, during their funerals. They would use myrrh to anoint the dead body because myrrh slowed the decaying process. And then they would use other spices like frankincense to anoint the body to make it help it smell pleasant for as long as possible. And then another use of myrrh was it was also mixed with strong wine to make a pain-dulling narcotic-style drink. This is what Jesus refused to drink as he went to the cross, which is a fulfillment of Bible, a Bible command that he would not drink strong drink, don't drink strong drink. But it was also a gesture that he wasn't going to let anything dull his senses as he took the punishment of the world upon himself. But he refused to drink it as he went to the cross. Myrrh is very bitter. And by the wise men giving myrrh to Jesus Christ, to the child, Jesus here, it was a picture of the bitterness he was going to endure in his death on the cross, the pain and bitterness there. So this gift was a picture of thankful worship for Jesus being their future substitute payment for their sins. Let's read the verse again. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh, pointing to his death, his coming death. There are some commentators, I found out, who do not attribute much faith to the wise men. They say they think the wise men believe this new king of the Jews would simply be a great personage or a great conqueror. And so they attribute their three gifts to only being, they only brought these three gifts because it was customary to bring gifts to a high-ranking official. And that's what they were doing. They were honoring a high-ranking official, they thought, is what several commentators think. And they only brought these three gifts because they were the most valuable articles, most valuable products of their land. And I don't know that I agree with that at all. While it is true that gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the most valuable products of the Middle East, I personally don't believe that the wise men's actions were solely based on physical knowledge and physical acknowledgement. I believe they must have understood more fully of who he was than just simply a new king being born here. And here are my reasons. Here are my reasons why I think they knew more than just physical things. First of all, no wise men came to Herod's son's birth. If this was just honoring the next king of the Jews, why hadn't there been wise men coming from the east to honor Herod's sons when they were born? These wise men were not just recognizing any new king, any next king that was born in the area. No, they knew more about this king than that. And the second reason, why did they know to be watching for a sign of the Jewish Messiah's coming in the first place? How did they know that this was a Jewish king born? It had to be the timeline given in the book of Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel chapter 9. These are wise men from the east. So these could be from Babylon. These could be from Persia area. Or they could be from Sheba, Yemen. Okay? The Yemen area. The Bible does talk about the kings of Sheba shall come to worship before the Lord in the Old Testament. So these could be from Sheba. all of which makes sense that the book of Daniel would have been spread as a prophetic book and as a book written by a wise man and a high-ranking official in Babylon, it makes sense that his book would have traveled far and wide, at least in that area. And certainly, the Babylonian wise men and the Persian wise men would have his book. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, is where these wise men knew to be looking for the coming of the Messiah right then. Daniel 9, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So from the moment, I believe it was Artaxerxes gave the command to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, not the temple. The temple had already been commanded to be rebuilt by Cyrus. But the command from Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem, the wall in Jerusalem, from that command, 69 weeks until Messiah shall be cut off. And so these wise men had this prophecy. And they understood that these 69 weeks couldn't be simply weeks, because that many weeks had already passed by the time they were alive and the Messiah had not been. So these weeks must be years. Weeks of years. And so they'd already done the calculations. It wasn't weeks of days. It wasn't weeks of months. It was weeks of years. And so they were looking for the Messiah. And from this prophecy, they knew he was the Messiah. Not just a physical king, but the Messiah. The Prince. The Holy One of God. They knew these things. So they knew he was called the Most Holy. They knew he was called Messiah the Prince. So that's what another reason why they knew more than just that he was a physical king. Third reason, their persistence and perseverance in the search. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. If this was just a physical king, then... and they were just honoring a physical king, what would have happened when they got to Jerusalem? They came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've come to honor this new king." If it was a physical king only. "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. What? There's no king born. You guys are crazy. And then they looked around and saw that nobody in Jerusalem had been interested. Nobody had gone to honor the king. And when they left Jerusalem, nobody went with them. If this was just a physical king of the Jews, well, the Jews don't care. The Jews aren't recognizing him. What are we doing? If it was just a physical king, they would have stopped right there and returned home. They knew he was more than just a physical king. He knew he was from the Lord, from God. They had been counting the years carefully for generations since the time of Daniel. And there in front of them was the sign of his coming, a star. They had real faith. And I think they did maybe question, are we really sure about this? Because nobody else seems interested. Are we really sure about this? And I think the verse says here in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? I think that was confirmation to them. I think they had been troubled and wondering, what are we doing? Are we sure about this? Are we sure of the timing? Because none of the Jews, not even the Pharisees, the Jewish rulers, are coming with us. Wouldn't they be interested in their king, their Messiah? Are we sure about it? There's the star. Yeah, we're sure about it. There's the star. We're definitely sure. We've counted the years carefully. This is the time of the Messiah's coming. I think these wise men did indeed have real faith in Jesus as God, Jesus as the Christ. Now, granted, the specific gifts they brought may have been spurred more by what was the highest valued items in their country. That might be the reason for them picking those three things. But I believe God was still having his way in giving us a wonderful picture of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And I believe the wise men were honoring their God and King in picking out those three most expensive items in their country. And I believe God was having his way in the story, having his way in the message that those three gifts give to us, because myrrh completes the message of the Messiah. Myrrh completes the message of the Messiah. It completes the message of who he is. Frankincense declared Jesus to be God. He is divinity. Jesus is the divine Son of the Father. That was part of who Jesus Christ was. And gold declared Christ to be the King of kings, the King of the universe, the divine King of the world. But if that was the last gift they brought, the message would have been incomplete, because he is also 100% man. And myrrh points to the manhood of Christ, his humanity. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. God was giving us the full picture of who Jesus was when he had those wise men pick out those three gifts in their hometown. What are we going to give to this king when we see him, when we meet him? What are we going to bring? Well, God had his way. Bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the most expensive things in your area. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Christ was 100% man. Excuse me. 100% man, as well as being 100% God in the flesh. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, referring to the fact that he was made a man so that he could suffer death. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He had to become a man so that he could die. Because God could not die. God cannot die in his form. But Jesus, as the God-man, could die for man. Chapter 2 and verse 14, please. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Talking about the Messiah, took part of flesh and blood. He took upon himself flesh. The body of a man. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He was 100% man, as well as 100% God. And we know that Philippians 2, we know what Philippians 2 tells us. Go there. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Makes it very plain. Excuse me. Woke up with a little bit of a cold this morning. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Referring to Christ Jesus in the previous verse. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So there it is. He is equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a Jew under Roman rule, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Myrrh completes the message of the Messiah. It completes the message of who he is. He is God, he is King, but he is the God-man, the God-man. Secondly, myrrh completes the message of his mission. It completes the message of his mission. Frankincense declared Christ to be God the Creator. We know that Jesus was the Creator. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Excuse me. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He's the Creator. And without Him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Skip down to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Jesus Christ is very literally the Creator. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, the Jews, His own people, and His own received Him not. None of those Pharisees, none of the religious leaders, none of those Jews in Jerusalem, after being told there's a king born down in Bethlehem, 6 miles away, 6 or 8, I forget now, between 6 and 8 miles from Jerusalem, just that far, just, you know, half a day's walk. And nobody bothered, nobody stirred from Jerusalem to go with those wise men. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He is the Creator. That's what frankincense declares Him to be. Gold declares Christ to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The message of these gifts. 1 Timothy 6, 14. Starting in the end of the verse, of verse 14. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 now, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what gold declares. Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 9. Because of Him going to the cross, verse 8, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He's the King. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every king, every ruler, Chai of China is going to bow before Jesus Christ. Putin of Russia is going to bow before Jesus Christ. Biden of America is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and declare Him to be King. Gold declared to the world that Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And myrrh completed the message of His mission. Myrrh declares Jesus Christ to be the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. The Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. I'm going to read John 1:29. You don't have to turn there. But the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Go to 1 Peter 3. You're in Philippians. Go to 1 Peter 3. the mission of Christ. He came to be the Lamb that was slain for us. 1 Peter 3:22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. He died on the cross. He took the punishment for our sins, but he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead and is gone now into heaven. He's on the right hand of God. He ever liveth. He is not a dead Savior. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And what are we supposed to do now? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Because Christ is not a dead Savior, because Christ is in heaven and seated on at the right hand of God the Father, because the whole world is made subject unto him, this is what we can do. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Number one, hold fast your faith. Don't let it go for anything. Hold fast your profession. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's the second thing we can do. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the ability to go to God in prayer. Hold fast your profession. Go to him in prayer. Go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Because he is God. Because he is the Creator. Because he is the Lamb slain for your sins. You can hold fast your profession. You can go to him in prayer. And Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against yourself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. We need to strive against sin. We have not yet resisted unto our blood against our sin nature. Until we do, we haven't striven hard enough, is the idea. Christ strove unto blood against sin. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. Our sin is wicked, terrible, awful. Strive against your sin. Hold fast your profession. Go to him in prayer. Strive against your sin. And chapter 10, verse 23. Well, I'm sorry, we were already there. One more verse. 1 Timothy 1, 17. 1 Timothy 1, 17. Last verse before we close. 1 Timothy 1, 17. We can rest assured, because myrrh completes the story. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We can partake of that amen because of who Jesus is, because of what myrrh points to. He took our sins away. He died on the cross. He became our Savior. He is our only wise God now. Our God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for taking our sins on the cross and dying in our place. But thank you, Lord, that you did not stay dead. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rose from the grave 3 days later. and you didn't stop the work that you do for us even then. You arose to the right hand of the Father, Lord Jesus, and you intercede for us at all times, moment by moment. Not only do you intercede for us, you keep our salvation sure. You keep us saved. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the work that you do for us, for the work that you did for us on the cross. And Lord, if there's one today that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, Lord, would you make the message of salvation clear and plain? And Father, I pray that as we celebrate your birth tomorrow, each one of us would center our thankfulness and our celebration upon Christ. And yes, we're happy to give gifts and receive gifts, but Lord, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for him. Bless this time, I pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. We're going to take about a